All right, so we're back live 2014, beautiful sunny San Francisco.
It is sunny.
Thanks for joining us. Now we're going to talk about XAML and WPF. Did I just say that?
Yeah.
With the wonderful Tim Hero. Thanks for coming back,
thank
man.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a while since we've seen you. Last year, in fact.
Last year, yes.
And Hamid.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So tell us what you do, Hamid.
All right, I'm a PM lead on the XAML team and focusing more on WPF.
Excellent. And Tim, I know what you do, but tell us again.
Hamid and I are on the same team. I'm also a PM lead for XAML and just kind of looking over where, you know, future investments in the WinRT space are.
Cool.
For Windows.
Excellent. So what I'm doing right now, I'm just going to turn my volume off here for some reason. It's making noise. But so let's talk about, a lot of talk today has been about universal apps.
Yes.
There's also been talks today about the fact that the desktop is still very important to us. There was a really nice demo of an old line of business app, completely, you know, not suited for the needs of modern runtime like WinRT, where it was basically trivial to bring that over into this new world, to make it a touch-enabled app and a better experience. But on the XAML part, XAML has also continued to evolve since the last time we chatted. What's been going on?
Yeah, so what we announced today and kind of the path that we've been taking over the course of really the past year and a half of how this has been occurring is making sure that we're, you know, converging the platforms and coming up with a common UI platform, and actually just not a common UI platform, a common Windows runtime platform to develop against, you know, all Microsoft device endpoints, you know, whether that's, you know, a desktop device, a tablet device, a phone device.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we introduced today. You know, David Treadwell talked about universal Windows apps and bringing that Windows runtime platform to that span of devices, not only in the programming model, but also new tooling that makes it a little bit easier for you as the app developer to really realize that that capability.
Absolutely. Now, in terms of if I choose to build a XAML app, and of course you don't have, that doesn't have to be your UI
Correct.
Stack, but if I choose to build a universal XAML app, how much of my XAML can I take across to the small 6-inch device from the 10-inch device to the 37-inch experience? So you guys must have done a lot of work to make that seamless and intelligent.
Yeah, I think the real answer is, you know, you could really bring a lot over. You know, does it make sense to bring a lot over? I think is the real question. And so we're enabling people to share and maximize as much code as possible. And mm-hmm. we saw in the keynote demonstration that Kevin Gallo did, you know, we started with a Windows app and just copied all the code to this shared concept. And it turns out, like, you actually do want to kind of tailor the experience to the device endpoint. So while we allow you the flexibility to maximize your share reuse, we want you to also have the flexibility to tailor to the device-specific thing. What's appropriate on a 4-inch screen is probably not appropriate on an 80-inch screen. And Windows spans that 4 inches to, you know, 80 inches. And we want to give you the capability to diversify your app on the needs of those input modalities as well as screen size.
Sure. Now, we have questions coming in, so we're going to jump right in this. So Deadly Dog would like to know, will existing controls be updated to be universal controls, or will there be a whole new set of universal controls that devs will need to convert their apps to use?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. The platform will provide a set of controls in the UI framework that automatically are, you know, that you're able to use on multiple devices without any changes. Like a good example that we use is one of our adaptive controls is the hub experience. You can use the hub, and on the phone, it tailors to specific phone experience where it does parallaxing and wraparound. And on a larger screen, you know, it doesn't have some of those experience. May in the future, though, but the API and how you program against it is identical across the same. Things like primitives, like buttons and things like that, like, you know, are automatically going to be pixel correct for the effective resolution and the scaling factor for the devices.
Nice.
So from what we provide in the platform, you know, there's some that will be kind of behavior adaptive, the hub is being an example. Actually, Date Picker is another good example. Mm. Where on Windows, you know, it's a very simple UI with three combo boxes, and on a smaller screen, it has the carouseling effect of the Date Picker that exists on phone. But again, yeah, the same API surface area that you program against. So we will continue to evolve even some of those primitives to be more adaptive as, you know, our device kind of behaviors and our device design experiences maybe evolve over time.
Excellent. So Windows Phone 8.1 that was announced today, supports Silverlight 8.0, Silverlight 7.0, Silverlight 8.1, and Silverlight 8.1 XAML is going to be the XAML that you guys have been working on. Well, here's my question. Let me try to rephrase it into something a little more intelligent. The version of...
That may be difficult for you.
Exactly. Thanks. Dang, you said that live for all these people.
Are we on?
Oh, yeah. So the version of XAML for Silverlight 8.1. Talk to me about the evolution from 8.0 to 8.1 from a XAML Silverlight perspective.
Yeah, we so as a call out, we actually will have a session that talks specifically about this. So
great.
Be sure to tune in for that. But the so Silverlight 8 is the version that's on Phone 8 today that people are able to develop against. 8.1 is an evolution of that. It's not the WinRT platform. However, 8.1 allows you to call more WinRT APIs that are in the subsystem areas. It's not the any XAML UI changes, but allows you to do certain things as like enhanced background tasks of using a common model across the Windows notification system and those type of things. So Silverlight 8.1 is kind of a enabling your existing Silverlight 8 apps to take advantage of more of the platform.
Excellent. All right. Questions from the smart people. Any pixel precision guidance for WP 8.1, like for Windows Silhouette, margins, header font sizes, etc.?
You know what that is?
Yeah, I don't think I think at Build we're refining our app line, our app guidelines to on MSDN. We publish them on MSDN to be a little bit more flexible. We realize that people have a diversified needs across their apps, and we want people to be creative. We want them to be creative, and so yes, our controls. Some of our controls have an existing design perspective and things like that, but we want it. We feel there's enough building blocks for everyone to be creative. And so the app guidelines are really exist to kind of provide some rails, some light rails for you to bring familiar experiences to users, but shouldn't be seen as rigid must-haves, I think. And we've already seen like a lot of creative things. I'll even use the example of the lock screens that Joe was talking about
sure.
this morning. You know, some of those are really different than the standard Metro design language.
Excellent.
And so as you heard Joe say, like we want people to create these unique experiences.
Awesome.
So we will update a published guidelines for some of the more basic things.
Great.
But I think the overarching thing is we want apps to do what's right for the app.
Beautiful. And we talked about that in our design panel today.
Great.
You know, the apps are for the users, not for the operating system, right?
What a concept.
Yeah, can you believe that? So now Windows is there to make apps great, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Vincenzo wants to know, any new method to get resources based on resolutions without writing custom code?
I'm going to try to parse that question. So get resources based on resolution without parting code. So our existing model, as I understand the question, allows you to do that. So as an example, if you have an image asset that is, or that you provided image assets for each of the different kind of scaled resolutions, so from 80 up to 250 or 300, the internal resource framework that we have automatically, if you just say, hey, I've got an image and my image is foo.jpg, but actually you've provided resources for foo, 100 scale, 120 scale, et cetera, we'll automatically pick the right image based on the heuristics that the device knows about that's going to feed into the app model. So I believe we do it already, the way that I'm understanding that question.
Thanks. And Peter Tor has a session on, it's titled 4 to 40 inches for developing and designing apps that target the phone and all the way up to large screens. So that would be a good session to go look
Absolutely.
Into.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. Peter Tor's a great speaker as well. I'm going to scroll down. There's WPF, those magical three letters. So are there any plans to overhaul the WPF rendering stack to make it more performant? WinRT is touted as having a more efficient rendering stack, but it's not available on the desktop, even though actually it's implemented in Win32 and essentially runs on the desktop. But that said, There's our WPF question.
All right. So that's a very loaded question. So some of the things that, you know, this question, these kind of questions do continue to come up. And one of the things that happened with WinRT is the root of all of WinRT, Silverlight is WPF, if you look at the XAML stack. Mm. And over time, the enhancements that have been done for WinRT is there's a new rendering stack. As part of doing a new rendering stack, it's significantly different from what the WPF rendering stack is. And that means that there's going to be compat differences. There's some features that are not available in WinRT that were available in WPF. So as part of improving, getting to that higher performance, low memory footprint, a lot of things has been redesigned for performance. While WPF was designed at a time when machines were getting faster, memories were getting more and more, so it was a totally different design and architecture at that point. So from that perspective, what we've been looking at over time is enhancing the XAML developer experience and being targeting that for different devices and tablets and desktop machines as well, because sure, the shell runs on the desktop. So that's the current plan there. I don't know if there's anything to add to that.
Yeah, I think like to kind of drill down one level deep on that is, you know, it's not just WPF that's been evolving, it's Windows that's been evolving as well. And like Windows 8 brought a lot of subsystem improvements in things like what I call the direct star technologies, direct write, direct composition, direct manipulation. And that's what, we want to build on those future investments as well. And WinRT is built on top of those future investments. And so, WPF taking advantage of those things are things that, we want to explore, but, also represent, pretty large engineering challenges for us to just kind of rip and replace, whole subsystem stacks like that.
Understood. It's always easier to talk about making big changes than actually implementing them. But in some sense, on WinRT, XAML is native, right?
Yes.
And WPF, it's not. At least not at certain points. At some point, everything's native if it's executing on silicon. Mm. But I think that's an interesting thing that we could noodle on, but we should get to other questions. Okay. I'd love to talk to you guys more about that. I'm sure they would love to learn. Or they could just keep asking those types of questions. So would you guys, as Microsoft employees, this is from Gabriel, object to a XAML parser for the web?
I would never object to people doing things that they feel that they would make them successful. I think this has been tried before, actually. These kind of transcompile type languages. I remember seeing someone do it for Silverlight that kind of converted to HTML. And it's extremely difficult to get to fidelity on, platform specific thing. And we hear this a lot of people liking the flexibility that XAML provides them as a design time experience and how I can customize thing, but they want to have more kind of target endpoints and HTML and things like that. And I just think I'm not sure you'd hear anyone really object to it. I think it seems like it'd be a pretty daunting task to like get to that fidelity of like what XAML provides and the flexibility. Does that really translate easily to things like HTML or other types of platform things?
Sure, like CSS.
Yeah, as an example, I'll give you an interesting example. There's a company called Noesis GUI. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but they actually have a XAML I'm going to use totally wrong terms, but for Unity. So they have a plugin for Unity that allows you to write XAML and use that in a Unity application.
Wow.
And, it's not all of, as my understanding, it's not all of the XAML spec, so it's kind of like they're challenged in like, well, what do we actually support? What if I have like this highly customized control template, how does that translate to Unity primitives? How does that translate to HTML primitives and things like that? So there are people that are trying, for sure.
Excellent. So Laurent wants to know, why no hub panorama in Windows Phone HTML5 apps?
I believe there is a hub.
So there's your question. Your question already was answered. HTML5-based...
So Windows Phone 8.1 allows you to write HTML applications using the WinJS platform as well. I think that maybe is there a WinJS hub control? Maybe I'm mistaken. We should follow up on that one.
So Basky would like to know if you can share XAML controls between WPF, Windows 8.1, and Windows Phone 8.1, even though, right, so it's a great question, even though we already probably know the answer. What is the answer?
So the way I'm understanding the question, the answer is no.
Okay.
But, you know, it's, again, you know, the answer is more nuanced. When I think about WinRT XAML and WPF, WinRT XAML at the moment is targeted, you know, to phone and the phone form factor and the tablet form factor. And WPF is the way to write desktop applications, and it's really popular, especially in enterprises and line of business applications. Mm-hmm. Typically, the needs over there, the UX needs are different. And you know, WinRT XAML is actually more, you know, touch-based, you have bigger controls, and bringing that and writing, somehow writing data intensive forms over data application using that control set, mm-hmm. just, you know, at some point does not feel natural for the kind of experiences you're typically building for LOB applications. So they're targeting two different things. WPF targets desktop applications. WinRT XAML is targeting, you know, tablet and phones.
And you could, of course, you know, share the underlying logic.
Yeah, the code, C-sharp,
right? That's the point, yeah.
You can share the code.
Exactly. But it is, you know, I have to say, it is interesting when you think about that there is, you know, so many different XAMLs out there in the real world. It would be nice, is there going to be a XAML 1? One XAML. XAML 1.
Yeah,
all right. So are Universal Apps XAML breakpoints supported right now?
I think this is referring to being able to actually set a breakpoint in markup, and no.
Okay. Yeah. Greg wants to know, will it be safe to assume that all assets will have to be vectorized?
No, there's no requirement for assets to be vectorized.
MS would like to know, is there a timeline for bringing in C-sharp XAML to Xbox One? When will it be available?
We'll defer strategy questions somewhere, yeah.
Sorry. Deadly Dog, any plans to allow for inline C-sharp to be used in XAML? The Quick Converter NuGet package does this for converters. Would be great if MS offered something similar natively.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting concept to kind of, almost like a MVC Razor concept, I guess, where you have markup and script is how I'm interpreting that. I've not heard of Quick Converter. I should take a look. But honestly, it's not something that we were really strongly looking at right now, but maybe it's something we should look at.
Yeah, maybe.
Great. So more sort of, I've seen that a new WPF team is being formed via tweets from those in the know, like Mary Jo Foley. What can we expect the scope of its work to be? So basically, the moral of the story is WPF is a technology that you're working on. Right? It's not something that hasn't been deprecated.
Oh, no.
Right?
No, not
so at the all. Fact of the matter is people work on WPF.
Yes.
And have been. I always think it's funny how much people kind of interpret strategy from job postings, but you know, we've had a staff on WPF, and you know, we're continuing to hire people on platforms that we work on. So
right on. Yeah. Sean wants to know, how will scaling work for Windows Phone Universal Apps? In other words, I guess scaling in terms of the controls, the UI controls. Will text continue to grow larger for devices that does today, or will the size remain constant like in WPF?
This is
Peter's talk.
Yeah, Hamid pointed out Peter's talk. Like, this is a great question, actually. And like, we did make changes in Phone 8.1 to accommodate this, both in how we understand text enlargement, so APIs that you can specifically opt into, but as well as just kind of the natural scaling as far as what the, the effective resolution of the app and how that translates to pixel sizes and things like that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Andrew would like to know, Andrew moved around, so now I got to find him again. Will we get a modern app XAML ribbon control like what was demonstrated for Office Touch? Modern app XAML ribbon control.
You want to take that?
Yeah, sure, I'll take that one. That's an interesting question. And, you know, as, you know, what we're seeing is as, you know, teams within Microsoft are building WinRT applications, you know, some needs around UX patterns are coming up. Our own shell team is looking at different UX patterns that make sense. And typically what we do is we look at those patterns as they evolve and see which ones of those make sense to have a formal control for, and then you know we prioritize and go after them. So that exercise is going to happen, you know, in general, and Ribbon would be part of that exercise.
So Amari, I mean, we might as well, WPF has the baby that's been ignored when the new baby was born. So you always have your first child, and then the new one comes, and maybe you don't give that old one enough attention, and the people that were relying on the old one think that you don't love it anymore. But we can't stress enough that...
That, you know, the first child is the one that you love the most, right? But in general, you know, just to answer the question, you know, that's actually a good example. You know, when there's a new baby born or a new something, you know, that actually takes much more, work to get it to a point where it can, you know, stand on its own. And that's, you know, WPF was the first one. And actually, we worked on WPF for, I was on the WPF team for 5 years before it shipped, wow. 4 or 5 years. So that was a lot of work that happened for WPF that maybe people not aware of.
Sure.
So when RDXAML or other platforms come up, you know, just to bring them up takes a lot of effort and a lot of time. And things that are already up and running, you know, they don't require as much. But, you know, with all of this, you know, we're here to also, you know, there's a desktop application development panel tomorrow at noon. So come to that, and we would love to hear from you.
Great. And again, you're going to be on that panel.
Yep. Yes, both of us are there.
Excellent. And that's about desktop development today and tomorrow on Windows.
On Windows, yes.
So the Visual State Manager is an extremely complex tool for state changes that either do not require animations or have no logical animation that could be performed. Any plans to add triggers to WinRT?
So I love this question because we get these a lot of like, where's my favorite feature is kind of like where this question is. And VSM is like a love-hate relationship with a lot of people. Some people absolutely love it, and other people clearly hate it. What we want to do is we want to make sure that we're developing features that are performant for applications, right? Machines are getting lower powered over time, longer battery life. We want to make sure that we're adapting to those. VSM actually is one of those areas that we are looking at to see, like, how can we optimize that so it's not as cumbersome? You know, can we simplify it, and how do we optimize it so it's not a performance concern for some people? Because VSM is a control template, it's states, it's animations, it's a lot of things. You know, specifically, are we going to bring triggers to solve that problem? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, we want to make sure that we're looking at the scenario that triggers are trying to achieve, and we'll go after the best performant way of doing that in WinRT, which has been our approach for WinRT all along.
Excellent. So ST wants to know, when is the XAML designer in VS going to get any better? With many platforms utilizing XAML, the experience still doesn't measure up with WinForms in terms of speed and ease of use.
Yeah, we're not on the tooling team. Obviously, we're strong partners with the tooling team, and we are constantly in lockstep partnership with them on looking at ways that how they interact with the framework and how they can make it better and do some innovative things. You know, the designer actually is doing a lot of complex stuff to get a good real-time design time experience. And so it's not an easy task, but you know, I know they've heard that feedback, and I know that performance and reliability are always top of mind on their plans.
I'm sure.
And so it constantly evolves. And actually, you know, the updates that come out mm-hmm. are not just like feature updates too, right? You know, VS Update 1 and Update 2, they constantly bring reliability improvements across the VS family of things, including Blend and the XAML Designer as well.
Excellent. So Boris, I'm not exactly sure what you're referencing to since you said, does that mean? So I'm going to, you know, maybe work on that question. From ST wants to know, Anthony wants to know, is there going to be a 64-bit XAML development? 64-bit XAML.
I think this is referring to the designer as well.
Yes.
And I don't know their plans to adapt
cool.
to that.
So Roman wants to know, so how does a XAML universal app work? Is there a XAML file for each form factor sharing the same code behind?
The universal app system can work in one of two ways. So what you end up having, if you're using Visual Studio, this is what happens. You have a single solution that has multiple projects. You have a Windows project, a Windows Phone project, and this new concept we call a shared project. Anything that you put in shared, and you can put anything in there, gets compiled into either one of those build targets that you have in your solution. So if I put code in there, if I put XAML, if I put assets, whatever, those are kind of merged in and compiled into there. I can also put XAML specific things in each one of the target build targets there. So I don't have to have a XAML file per device, but I can if I want, or I can completely share it. It really is up to the developer.
So in this model, I could have a Windows Phone Silverlight 8.1 project, portable class library, if you will, and then a Windows 8.1 project, and not share any XAML for obvious reasons, but share a bunch of code.
So if you have a Silverlight 8.1 project and a Windows Store project, your code sharing is going to be at the code level through PCLs,
is what
you mentioned. So you're not going to be sharing UI.
No way, of course not. Yeah. Okay. Until Silverlight runs in Windows Store apps, which I know you're working on. I'm just kidding. We have 3 minutes left. Thanks for the excellent questions. Please keep them coming. But while we're here, just to maybe get a little highlight of your panel, when we do think about desktop development, there have been changes to the Win32 API in terms of optimizations, in terms of maybe security, in terms of new features. In terms of WPF, what work have you been doing that got us to WPF of today that ships in 8.1 update 1, or whatever the operating system is called?
So WPF ships with .NET. And so some of the work that's been happening over the past, in 4.5, we did a major, some major work around virtualization for WPF. And as that work happened, while we made, a bunch of customers happy, unfortunately, we also regressed a bunch of our customers. Mm-hmm. And we have been, interestingly, WPF developers are really smart, and they use the product in ways that, sometimes we have not thought of.
Sure.
And hence, we've been hit with a significant number of regressions there that we've been meticulously going back and fixing over the past 6 months, year or so. Mm-hmm. And those updates have come out in a .NET 4.5.1 update shipped, and I think 4.5.2 is in the plans, and those fixes have been going in there. Simultaneously, we've also been talking to customers now and trying to figure out the desktop development area and just engage with people on that end.
Right on. Well, hey, always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us, Hamid.
Yeah.
Good luck on your panel tomorrow.
Yes.
I hope you get peppered with more questions.
Thank you for the great questions.
Yeah, the WPF people in the house are going to come to you.
The good thing is the feedback really, really helps. And so, we want to make sure that we get actionable feedback as the best feedback we can get.
Right on. On that note, thank you. And please check out, the next session is going to be totally rock and roll. It's using Orleans to build Halo 4's distributed cloud services in Azure. You saw the Orleans video on Channel 9 3 or 4 years ago. Now this is where it is. It's in production. It's in the cloud. It's a rocking technology. Cheers.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you.